Mike, good to have you back. Just before we went to break, I was telling you about Joe Biden, the tax dodger, the guy that's out there telling you you need to pay your fair share. Here he is, dodging taxes and so forth. At least $500,000 because he abused his S-Corp privileges. I say that because they want to spend, well, they wanted to spend $6 trillion, but they're willing to spend $3.5 trillion of your dollars for God only knows what. Joining me, Richard Ebling, AIER, Senior Fellow at the BB&T, Distinguished Professor of Ethics, Free Enterprise at the Citadel. Richard, good to see you again, as always.
Good to see you. Good morning.
Good morning. So, you know, you and I talked about this. You had not heard this story yet. This just broke late yesterday. $500,000 in back taxes, maybe more. And this is from a nonpartisan study group. And they said that $13 million came into S-Corps for Joe and Jill Biden, but they only paid their Medicare tax on 3.8%. I have an idea. Joe Biden's all excited to have more IRS agents, more audits. Maybe he should start with an audit of his own finances so he can pay his fair share. What do you think?
Maybe his taxes should be perused publicly the way the Democrats were insistent to do so with Donald Trump for 4 years.
Exactly.
The problem, of course, is that the problem is always with the opposition, never themselves. They can go without masks. They can wear designer dresses saying tax the rich while hobnobbing with other millionaires who pay $30,000 a shot for a seat at a gala dinner. They can travel on planes without masks while everyone else is expected to. So why should we be surprised that the commander-in-chief, who's the most arrogant, self-righteous person about most of these things, should feel that, well, some people owe taxes, but, you know, that may not necessarily apply to me.
Right. Yeah, you just wrote a great article, America's Fiscal History from Liberty to Paternalism. You cite the Great Society from Lyndon Johnson, which we've spent somewhere between $25 and $30 trillion on since 1965, and yet the scale of poverty in America never really varies much. It's about 12%, sometimes 15%, sometimes a little bit. It got lower under President Donald Trump, actually, but it stays there. What happened is we shifted poverty from elderly people to children. I don't know if that was a great success to make children have the poverty rate more than old folks. Plus, you talk about other writings that go back 100 years or more saying this is what happens when you live in a tax and spend state. And it never works, does it?
No, it doesn't. The fact is that when you shift the control of money productively earned, and when you therefore shift responsibility of how to try to intelligently and wisely spend it from those who have actually earned that money to those in political power, the political paternalists who presume arrogantly to know better how your money should be spent to you yourselves, it tends to be shifted in ways that serve special interests, that arrogantly through virtue signaling is spent the way they think it should be on the people they think deserve it. And as a consequence, you perpetuate poverty. The fact is that the great free market economist Thomas Sowell, he's a research fellow at the Hoover Institution at Stanford University, has written many books on the theme that in spite of the heavy discrimination before the 1950s and early 60s on the black community, the segregation laws, et cetera, the fact is the poverty rate was declining slowly but surely in the black community. But that after the Great Society programs meant to be a war on poverty, wasn't that LBJ's slogan as part of that theme? That in fact, the rate of decline in poverty in the black community slowed down such that poverty stagnated and it became more difficult for the black family to get out of poverty compared to before all this legislation, or that by having a welfare system in which the government set the rules, who could live in the house. There could not be a man in the house. It had to be a single woman,
exactly,
alone or abandoned with children. What happened was, is that it broke up the family.
It incentivized the destruction of the family. Yeah, there was financial incentive to break the family up because of the way that was written. It has worked that way ever since. We do not have, first of all, We don't have enough dads in America as it is that are standing up and doing the right thing. And in homes that are in poverty, it's far worse. And I don't care if you're black or white, doesn't matter. Poverty homes, homes under the poverty level, have fewer dads, which creates bigger long-term. You want to talk about systemic problems? That is a systemic problem, isn't it?
Yes, and that has been a product of the welfare state. When you undermine and destroy the nuclear family and the role modeling and the idea of a breadwinner, and responsibility, and to children, particularly the male children, to have a role model to emulate and expected to represent a standard for it to which they are expected to match. This undermines the family terribly. It's basically saying you're not responsible. You're not responsible for the choices you made, the people who you're connected with. You can just go your own way, and the state provides the money.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know we don't have the time, but I'll just say this breakup of the family occurred in Great Britain back in the 1700s and 1800s when they had their version of the welfare state known as the Poor Laws. And that was an ethnically homogeneous society, right? White Anglo-Saxon Protestants. It has nothing to do with ethnicity or race. Like causes bring about like effects. If you pay people not to work, they don't work. If you pay people more who have broken families, more families get broken up. And that's just the way it is.
Yeah, that is exactly the way it is. We've got to stop incentivizing the destruction. I mean, how easy would it be just to write that provision out? Stop prohibiting fathers from being part of the home. Stop prohibiting the family from functioning, because you're right. You know, and one easy example I give people about the lack of fathers is if you look at some of these young mass shooters over the past 15 or 20 years, there's one common denominator that covers just about every single one. No male figure. Home, no father relationship at all, or a very distant relationship, no male role model. Dads are important. Dads are really important. And I'm not taking anything away from the single moms out there that are working their tails off to make it happen. I respect you more than you know. But a father figure and a mother figure are both critical in the raising of children and creating accountability inside the home, is what you're saying, Richard.
Absolutely. But why does that all matter in a world and at a time when you can be any gender you want today and something different tomorrow? So what is the even meaning of being male or female or something in between when these are said to have non-existence in the real world?
Yeah. And here we go down on a path to who knows where. But the paternalism, let me ask you this. We got about 45 seconds. $3.5 trillion, I don't think it's going to make it through, but they're still going to spend $1 trillion or $1.5 trillion. It'll still be another giant spending bill. It won't be $3.5 trillion, but it'll be some enormous amount, unless AOC throws a temper tantrum. Hopefully she does. We're not on a good path, no matter how you look at it. I'll give you the last word.
We are on a bad path, because not only are they twisting the sound foundations, the cultural foundations of society, with their elite arrogance of paternalism, they're squandering trillions of dollars in ways that make the situation worse and are placing debt burdens upon us that are unimaginable. I'll just give one figure. It's estimated that in 10 years, with this trend, the country will have over $40 trillion of debt compared to the $28 trillion today. Who's going to pay for this?
Yeah.
Who's going to bear the tax?
Oh, we're going to pay for it, but in a way they don't imagine. Professor, I have to leave it right there. Richard Ebling always appreciates your input from the Citadel. Thank you, sir.
My pleasure. Thank you. Have a good
day. You too. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Pure Michigan water has never been more important than it is today. You can find your Pure Michigan water experts at Wolverine Water. Wolverine Water has been installing Michigan-made products for almost 75 years now. Hometown products and hometown service provided by your friends and neighbors at Wolverine Water since 1947. How about that for a cool drink of water? Wolverine Water. I've been a customer for over 20 years, too. If you're ready for the very best, you're ready for Wolverine Water. WolverineWaterSystems.com.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce.
Michigan has been through some tough times. We've seen businesses close, unemployment soar, and the economy take a heavy hit. But through these struggles, we've been given the opportunity to rethink, retool, and reimagine. It's through strength and determination, drive and focus, that we will be back, and we will bring Michigan back. We are the Michigan Chamber, and we stand ready to fight for Michigan.
To learn more about the Michigan Chamber and how to become a member, visit michamber.com.
The pandemic has made it clear. If you're overweight, have diabetes, or high blood pressure, you are at risk. My Pure Health Solutions wants you to get healthy. If you've been thinking about losing weight, there's no better time than right now. With My Pure Health Solutions, you can do it all from the privacy of your own home. My Pure Health Solutions will build a custom plan just for you to lose weight, lower your blood pressure, and even boost your immune system. If you're ready to take control of your weight and your health, today is the day. Go to GruberHealth.com. GruberHealth.com.
Scleroderma makes life hard. If you suffer from the disease or know someone who does, every day can be a challenge. But the Scleroderma Foundation Michigan chapter is working to make life easier for patients by providing support throughout the state. Each month, we host support groups in a variety of locations around Michigan that give patients the opportunity to share their feelings, express their concerns, and receive encouragement from community members. We also host virtual support groups for patients. Hand in hand, we can handle scleroderma. Learn more at scleroderma.org/Michigan.